orchestrate that well. The band comprises Mark and David Knopfler, John Ilsley and Pick Withers. To set them up, here's a track from the album, and then Mark and David talk to Bob Kilby.
Now, I'm sure a lot of people who've heard your album are convinced that this band has been together for some years, but that's not really the case, is it?
No, we've been together 1 year this week. It's a birthday week.
Anniversary time.
It's anniversary time. Yes, no cakes.
How did you come to form the band, Mark? Because I know you were in a few bands, including Brewer's Droop, I think, at one stage.
Oh, blimey, right.
That's going back a bit.
You've got to follow me. They're doing a bit of research here. Actually, I was with the Droop for a couple of months, 2 months, when I left university, and that was in 1973. But they were a professional band, and they were advertising, and, you know, you go and you just audition just for any professional band that's got an audition going. But in fact, I haven't really been involved in any bands of note at all. I've always been doing other things. And
such as lecturing?
Well, yes, teaching. I've been teaching, in fact, I was teaching for 3 years before putting the Straits together, yeah. But I went to America and the summer before last. And I went around the States for about... I was there for 7 weeks, and I just kind of felt that when I came back, I taught another year, but it wasn't the same as the 2 years that I'd been teaching before. And I just kind of knew that I had to try and put it together. So when last summer rolled up, instead of going back to the States, I thought that would be the time to use to actually put the band together. So we did. We actually made it happen, physically made it happen. You know, it's just putting a band together like that, it's just a lot of hard work. And we just spent the whole summer, holidays, if you like, holidays, doing it. So July last year was kind of sorted out, and we went out and started to play.
You've got a recording contract is worth recounting, I think, because it demonstrates the power of radio in the rock business. It's sure. A bit of a fairy tale, wasn't it, by all accounts?
Yeah. It was. We scraped together the, you know, what cash that we had. I think we needed to get about 5 songs down in a little chicken shack recording studio in North London. A good little studio, but we did 5 songs there. And it was, I think it was 160 quid it was, because we were in there for about 15 hours or so doing them at about 10 quid an hour. And we got a tape together, and the tape, we didn't really know what to do with it. We weren't really familiar with the idea of hawking tapes around record companies and, you know, getting them transferred to cassettes and doing all that business that so many people have got to do. So I thought maybe we should take the tape to Charlie Gillett, who's got a program on Radio London called Honky Tonk on Sunday mornings. And I mean, all the time I'd been in London, which had been down a few years, doing one thing or another, and I'd just been listening to it. And the vibe of the guy was very good, and I liked a lot of the things that he was doing. So I just thought we'd just take it along and see what he thought. So we did. I mean, John in the band knew Charlie on the telephone because of a record shop association, and so I think he found out where Charlie lived, so we rang him up and said that we would bring it round, and he said okay, and we went round, I think it was a Thursday, and it was really funny because, I mean, Charlie was there, and he just sort of said, well, I never, you know, my program list always put together on a Thursday, and I thought, oh, blimey, you know, I didn't want you to play anything on the radio, you know, we just wanted to know what we ought to do with the tape. And, he said, well, I'll listen to it. And I said, well, good. Like the program, bye-bye. And the next thing, I think we were moving furniture for a friend on that Sunday, so for once we missed the program. And I think David and John went round to the local, Oxford up in down in Deptford, in South London, where we live, and they went up there and, where are you on the radio? Where are you? What? So we'd been on the radio, and he'd slotted a couple of songs in, taken a couple of things out, and there was quite a big response to all of
that. Which ones?
He'd played Sultans of Swing.
Okay, you passed the audition, as it were, and you went into the studio with Muff Winwood to produce this first album. Now, listening to specific songs, Dave, it's fairly obvious that a lot of the lyrics are very London-orientated. Uh-huh. Are the band from London?
Well, we've all been in London now for some time. Me and Mark are from Newcastle, and Pick and John are from Leicester. But we formed in London. I've been living in Deptford with John for some time when Mark came down to join us in the flat in Deptford. So it's Mark's material, Mark's songs, and I think that London flavour does come over, yeah.
Yeah, you've obviously got a love of London, Mark. Wild West End, for instance, is a strong track.
I love London. It's a love-hate in a lot of ways, but I think ever since I came down on a weekend when I was about 14, it's always been that way. Yeah, there's so much about London that... I mean, I've always gotten off on it, on the cosmopolitan side to it, all sorts of things about it. It seemed to me that the whole consciousness of... a certain consciousness that people have got about their immediate environment is different to... Dave and I were actually born in Glasgow in Scotland. We spent the first few years there and then brought up in Newcastle. And I love Newcastle too in a lot of ways. I can't say that I'm mad about what's happened to a lot of the provinces. A lot of the so-called dynamic go-ahead city councils have done to some of the provinces. And, you know, they tend to make them all look a bit the same, big towns around the country. But London's always been big enough to sort of absorb all that. And there's so much about it that's... It's still exciting.
Well, finally, Dave, the first stage has been very successfully accomplished. I think the album's charted. So what are you aiming for from here? You're still touring at the moment, aren't you?
Well, we've had a really nice time on the tour. We did two real nice gigs at the Marquee and had a smashing one down in the Albany Empire Theatre in Deptford.
Hello,
Deptford. And then we're going to go into the studio and just put down one or two ideas just for now, and then later on in the year we'll be looking at a second album.
And that could well be markedly different from the first.
Could well be.
Mm.
You're not letting on, are you?
Well, I don't know, I guess it ought to be... It's likely to be more, to use the biz phrase, up front, you know... In the sense that it might like hit you right directly on the bridge of the nose, rather than it sort of seeping in somewhere around the back of the neck. it's really impossible to say right now.
David Knopfler of Dire Straits and tracks from their debut album. By the way, Dire Straits feature on the Radio 1 in concert later today at 6:30. Well, now, we did say a long time ago...